This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. The Cincinnati Bengals faithful had high hopes that quarterback Joe Burrow would lead the team to another Super Bowl this season. But his season-ending wrist injury has raised the question, does the team have a chance of making the playoffs without Joey B? And now, does the Bengals' Monday Night Football overtime win give fans new hope? We're going to talk about Joe Burrow's evolution from a backup quarterback at The Ohio State University to a first-round draft pick, and we'll discuss the latest on this football season. Joining me are the author of From Bulldog to Bengal, the Joe Burrow story through the eyes of his hometown, and Indiana Wesleyan University professor Scott Burson. Welcome, Scott.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Athens youth football coach and co-author of From Bulldog to Bengal, the Joe Burrow story through the eyes of his hometown, Sam Smathers. Thanks for being here, Sam.
Thanks for having us, Lucy.
And Local 12 News digital sports reporter and host of the Skinny Podcast, Richard Skinner. Welcome back, Richard.
Thanks, Lucy. Thanks for having me back.
Do you have questions or comments? You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or by emailing talk@wvxu.org. I think we need to start with what's on so many fans' minds these days, and that's Joe Burrow's wrist injury. Richard, explain the injury and what it looks like it's going to take for him to heal.
Yeah, so he got hurt on a play where Jadeveon Clowney of the Baltimore Ravens kind of landed him on a pass play, stayed in for one more play, threw a touchdown pass to Joe Mixon, and felt a pop in his wrist. And we all saw what happened from that point forward. And obviously, you know, a week and some change later, he had surgery on that wrist. It sounds like he will make a full recovery. He won't be throwing for a while. And it's a significant injury. I mean, you know, it's his right wrist. It's his throwing wrist. He's expected to make a full recovery. But then you wonder how susceptible that is moving forward, especially in a game where you get hit, and just because of bracing your fall, you're going to probably land on the wrist a few more times. So it is a significant injury, but it is one it sounds like he'll be able to come back from. It will not be this season, even if they make the postseason. So it'll be next year. I'm going to guess we will probably see Joe throw his first pass on social media, and then probably get a chance personally to see him when the spring rolls around and we get to OTAs. But it is a significant injury, no question.
Well, Richard, I have to ask you, there was some controversy over whether the Bengals left him off their injured list before that game against the Ravens, especially after the video that showed Joe wearing a wrist brace of some sort. It was on social media for a while. What's the team said about that? Is that something the NFL is looking into?
Yeah, they're still looking into it. They've requested some practice video from that week just to see if he was having some issues with it. I will note that during that week, they didn't really have a lot of practice time. They went through a couple of walkthroughs because of the way the week transpired, because it was such a short week from Sunday to a Thursday night game. I know in the sessions that were open to us in practice, and it's usually the first 20 minutes to 30 minutes that we can watch, he threw and looked fine. I literally was on the field in Baltimore doing a TV hit. Watching him warm up, he looked great in warm-ups, and it should be noted that he completed, you know, 11 of his first 17 passes in the game before he got hit and got landed on. You know, there was controversy about what he was wearing. He said it was a compression sleeve that, you know, guys get sore. They wear compression stuff all the time because they're sore. And I think this becomes the fine line in the NFL of what is an injury and what is soreness. There are a lot of guys that come in the training room on a Monday and a Wednesday and need treatment on a back or a quad or a thigh or an ankle or a shoulder. And they're not listed on the injury report, but they're sore. And so I think it's a fine line. If the NFL pushes this to a large degree, are we going to see injury reports every week with 45 guys on it instead of the guys that are really legitimately hurt? So it is still being investigated, and we'll see what the conclusion is eventually.
Yeah, I mean, I get sore just watching every game. So, Scott, in your book, From Bulldog to Bengal, you write about how Joe Burrow aspired to be a quarterback who could bounce right back up after getting sacked. Is he the kind of player who will play through the pain until he can't?
Mm. It sure seems so. You know, that reference that you just made, when Joe was a young boy, he saw a young Tom Brady who had just entered the NFL get hit really hard. And he chose to just jump right back up. And Joe just said to himself, I'm going to be like that. And he's been like that from the very beginning. But I mean, Sam Smathers, his coach, his first youth football coach. I don't know if Sam, did you ever see Joe get injured?
No, I've never seen him get injured. You play hurt when you're a football player. I don't care what age level, what grade. You play through a little bit of, you know, injury, a little bit of hurt, and you know, you have soreness. Like you said, you compression sleeves are or a norm for a lot of people. When so when he was little, he bounced back up, but he was resilient. Even in high school, he hit a kid in playoffs, and or the guy hit him, and he kept in the back of his mind. And when he took off on the next run, he kind of pinpointed him out in the playoffs and drilled him. So he kind of gave it back a little bit. That's Joe Burrow.
Yeah, he's not a guy who's afraid to get hurt, that's for sure. Sam, how old was Joe when you started coaching him? Could you tell even back then he was something special?
No, I mean, he was 8 years old. I coached youth football around here for about 15 years. Probably coached for about 10 years before he came through. So I've seen a lot of kids come through. And the one thing I did notice about Joe, and I didn't know who he was or his dad or anything like that, the background of him, but I just wanted kids to play. I noticed his IQ was a little better. And, you get a lot of kids that are quick and fast and, you know, at that young age and through sixth grade. But by the end of the third grade year, I figured out who his dad was, and it kind of dawned on me, hey, well, that's where his football IQ is coming from. So being a defensive coordinator at OU and such. But that's the only thing I noticed about him. He picked up on things quickly at that young age.
Well, Scott, talk to us a little bit more about that football IQ. Your book talks about how he was almost, if you could make a football player in a lab, this was the guy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so his dad played professional football. He played at Nebraska. He was a defensive back. His two older brothers, and they are separated by several years, also played defense for Nebraska. So he grew up in an environment where he was around football all the time. And then, of course, his family, his dad and brothers had a lot of success, so they knew a lot of people in the industry. So, you know, by the time, you know, I think Sam got a hold of him, I mean, he was playing some on defense, but he was also the quarterback. But he did so well as a quarterback because he understood how defenders think. And so he very much wanted to hit people and didn't mind getting hit at all.
Scott, another thing that struck me about your book is a lot of people didn't even think football was Joe Burrow's sport. He was known in high school as a star basketball player, right? And didn't he also play baseball?
He did. And growing up, that whole class of students, student athletes, starting from really elementary school all the way back to third grade, was an exceptional class. I think by the time they graduated, including the girls, they had 21 or 22 student athletes who got college sports scholarships, athletic scholarships. So he was surrounded by people, you know, who were really good. And so he played basketball, I played baseball, I played football growing up, travel sports. By the time he got to high school, he was starting on the basketball team as a freshman. And he was a freshman quarterback on the freshman team. So they were thinking about him really as a basketball player before a football player at that point in time. But people back in Athens County think he could have been very successful at any of those three sports.
We're talking about the evolution of Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow and whether the team has any hope of making the playoffs this season without him. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk@wvxu.org. Sam, do you have insight as to when and why Joe decided he was really going to focus on football and what that meant for him?
I'd say his sophomore year, when our starting quarterback, his dad was the assistant coach at OU, got a job at Fresno State and took our starting quarterback, who would have been Joe's sophomore year, took Michael to Fresno State, and Joe got thrust into it. And that first year, he lost his first game in the regular season and did not lose another game after that. So 29-1 in the regular season as a starter in the regular season. So I've seen it in sixth grade, the talent, the group of guys that came through. I had 12 kids or 13 or whatever it was that played from third grade to sixth grade. You don't always get that. But when you get that nucleus of a group, not just Joe, but that group that comes through together. And I in the banquet in sixth grade year, I remember saying, you know, if you all stick together because you love the game of football, the greatest sport, you know, on a field, team sport, you guys will do something in high school. And of course they did, you know, so made it to the state final his senior year, blah, 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 and all that. But I think, you know, I seen it in sixth, seventh grade, you know, his abilities. And by the time, you know, like I said, the stars aligned, as me and Jimmy always say, you know, the sophomore year, he got his first break to be a starting quarterback. Or if he wouldn't have, I think he would have went basketball. I mean, I really do.
Yeah. And Jimmy, that's Joe's dad, right?
Yeah, Jimmy. I'm sorry. Yep, Jimmy and Robin, his mom.
Yeah. it was such a big deal when Joe committed to Ohio State, but he didn't get to play much there. Scott, how disappointing was that for him?
Well, I think, you know, Joe's the consummate competitor, you know, so very, very disappointing. I mean, I think when he went in, he expected to sit for a while. He would sit behind JT Barrett and JT would go on to NFL and he'd have his chance. It just didn't play out that way. He performed super well in the spring games. If you go back and you can watch those spring games, if you're a diehard Joe Burrow fan on YouTube, but he really performed well in those spring games. But that quarterback room was just loaded with talent. And that's just kind of the way it was. And he had to make a move to another school to really prove who he was. You know, in some ways, there's a parallel to Jake Browning, isn't there? I mean, Jake Browning now is finally getting his chance. I mean, he's continued to work hard. He's beginning to show what he can do.
Yeah. Well, Richard, I remember the excitement locally when the Bengals had the number one draft pick and drafted Joe Burrow. As a veteran sports reporter, what were your expectations for him and what he would bring to the team?
Yeah, I think eventually to be a guy that could lead this team to a Super Bowl, not as quickly as he did by any stretch of the imagination. If you go back to his rookie year, it wasn't a great roster. He got beat around. He lost a bunch of games. They were 2-8-1, and he eventually suffered that ACL injury. And then you thought, okay, just make progress in year two, and he ends up taking the huge leap and takes the team with him to the Super Bowl and follows it up. Proven it wasn't just dumb luck by what they did last year by marching to the AFC Championship game and almost winning again in Kansas City. But I mean, from day one, they made him the starter. It was a weird circumstance because that was the COVID year. So practices were weird. The whole season was weird. Again, he did not have a great roster around him. They started to add those pieces over that offseason defensively. And then obviously drafted Ja'Marr Chase to go along with it. Got T. Higgins in the same draft class as Joe, so they were rookies together, and then slowly built the roster, or actually not even slowly, built the roster around him. But yeah, I think the expectations have always been, after watching what he did that special year at LSU and how he just came in, and the one thing when he took the reins, again, you were expecting a rookie curve, and there always is. It's a very tough league for anybody, especially rookies. But the way he just handled himself, the way guys gravitated towards him, the way guys believed in him, even through some of those losses his rookie year, that's when you know a guy is special. And I think that was proven really quickly, whether the record was good or not.
Well, you mentioned that special time at LSU. I want to back up to that just a little bit. Scott, how did Joe Burrow develop into this Heisman winning, you know, player at LSU? How'd that happen?
Well, I mean, I think there are a lot of factors that went into that. I mean, I think Ohio State, his time at Ohio State, you know, can't be overlooked. I mean, he put in the reps, you know, like I said, the spring practices, you know, as a backup quarterback, you know, he still got a lot of reps. And so, you know, he was trained well at Ohio State, and Ryan Day, you know, was part of that. But he went down to LSU with the mindset. Now, he had already graduated from Ohio State in 3 years. So that's a remarkable sort of accomplishment when you think about it as a student athlete. So he went down there and he was kind of like, you know what, you know, kind of the college lifestyle, I'm done with it. I mean, this is going to be like a post-grad internship for me. And that's how he approached it. I mean, every moment that he had, I mean, he was at the facility and he was working hard on his craft, getting to know his teammates, becoming their leader, winning them over. You know, he came in really late because he didn't have spring ball with them. So he had a lot of work in front of him. But again, he said, you know, this is my opportunity. I'm going to make the most of it, and I'm not going to squander it.
And interject, Lucy, to that point. He's always spoken fondly of Ohio State, but one of my favorite quotes he uses is, I went to school at Ohio State. I played football at LSU. And I think there's a lot of truth to that.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Well, Richard, you know, you were talking about how the Bengals have really built this team around Joe Burrow. What chance do you think the team has to make the playoffs this season without him?
Well, certainly better after Monday night and what Jake Browning showed. And to Scott's point, you know, sometimes it's just a matter of opportunity. You know, Jake Browning was a really accomplished high school quarterback, set a lot of passing records in California, was a 4-year starter at Washington and had really good success there. He did suffer a shoulder injury in college. His arm strength was questioned coming out. His size was questioned coming out. So he went undrafted, stayed on Minnesota's practice squad for a couple of years, spent a couple of years on this practice squad. But the staff has always spoken of a belief of Jake Browning because he's stayed in tune. He's mentally sharp. They like the skill set that they see, and nobody believed it. He played a nice game against Pittsburgh in his first NFL start, and then all of a sudden that Monday night game that nobody could have predicted. And sometimes it is to the Joe Burrow point, you know, he just didn't get opportunity at Ohio State. It was a loaded quarterback room. Well, in the NFL, sometimes you got to take advantage of your opportunity. Brock Purdy in San Francisco was the last guy picked in the NFL draft in 2022. And that was the quarterback of the best team in the NFL. So it's sometimes it's just a matter of opportunity.
Yeah. Sam, how frustrating do you think all this is for Joe, this injury? I mean, part of recovering from an injury like this and the other injuries he's had since his NFL career started is how he approaches it mentally. How do you think he's got his head around this situation?
Knowing Joe the way I do, as long as I've known him, I guarantee you this. Well, let's just say in high school, they came out with this rule of if you're ahead by 30 points, that's a running clock in the second half. Joe Burrow, and they had the most points scored in a season in Ohio high school history. And he didn't play half the second halves of those games. So he became a coach. In youth football, I noticed by the fifth and sixth grade year, he was my coach on the field. He would orchestrate. He was not a rah-rah guy. He would orchestrate guys that were out of position and make things happen. In college, you seen him, you know, at LSU. You know, he won the guys over. He won those, but you could see him coaching on the field, you know, making things happen. Joe Burrow is, you know, he's a football junkie. Lou Amarillo said it the other day. He's in his defensive room. So Joe is, he's utilizing his skills to help the team where it needs to be, where he can help. It may not be physically right now, but mentally, Joe is, you know, he's not lax. He's not sitting on the sidelines. He's out there helping his team. And doing what he can do to make those guys better.
Scott, I'll ask all y'all this if we have time, but Scott, do you think he's going to be able to add a Super Bowl ring to all his accomplishments that he's had so far?
Yes. Yes.
We have people from Southeast Ohio have no doubt, you know, from Athens County that it's just a matter of time. And it's really a matter of how many. I think total faith, they've seen it. They've seen it at every level. So, yeah, it's just a matter of time.
I think. Huh? What do you think, Sam?
I agree totally. The things that, you know, I want people to read this book. Like you said, you read it. When we wrote it, I want it to be able to be like a fifth or sixth grade kid to read this book, take a little inspiration of, you know, being knocked down or not being, you know, hey, you can't do this, or you're not good enough. You don't have this, you know, you don't get this opportunity. You keep trying, you keep doing it, and this is what can happen. So any kid can read this book and get a little inspiration from that. We've seen it from day one, you know, in youth football all the way up. It's just a matter of time. And Joe will lead these guys. He's a locker room guy. It's going to happen many times.
What do you think, Richard? Do you think Joe Burrow could lead the Bengals to a Super Bowl?
I do. The NFL is a strange bird, though, because of the salary cap and you know, the parts get moving every year. You got to hit on some draft picks. You got to build the roster correctly. But yeah, I mean, again, the roster in 2021 was okay. It wasn't great. It got even better the next year, and he took the team to the Super Bowl.
Sure.
And that was on him. And so, yeah, to me, a healthy Joe Burrow for a full season with a roster that's competent and is capable, it doesn't have to be great, he can lift that team to a Super Bowl. They are in a loaded conference. The AFC right now is loaded for bear. 10, 11 teams still battling for playoff spots this deep into the season. But, yes, if Joe Burrow is healthy and the roster around him is competent, absolutely he leads his team to a Super Bowl title.
Super Bowl title. I was going to say, I should have said he's taken to the Super Bowl before, but it's a Super Bowl win that everybody wants now. Everybody's getting greedy. It's not just good enough to get there. We want to see those rings on those Bengals' fingers. Mm-hmm. What, you know, you talked about, Sam, just the hoping that this book will inspire people. The other thing that Joe Burrow has done so consistently is to shine some light on his hometown and the needs of his hometown and his love for his hometown. Sam, what has that meant for the people of Athens to see this this guy they've known since he was just a little bitty kid, you know, succeed like this and kind of keep giving back?
Well, I've coached youth football around here, and I've been around these kids, and I've watched them. You know, you have to take some home. You have to pick them up for games, you know, less fortunate type things. And then on the buses, you know, you'd see them, you know, on Fridays, maybe get a food bag to take home because, you know, that's all they're going to get to eat. And Joe's seen all this stuff, and he's watched all this, you know, growing up around here. And so for him to shoot from the hip at his Heisman acceptance speech, you know, straight from the hip, and – to speak out to the, these kids, you know, we can be up here too. Those boys, you know, those kids can be up here with him. You know, that to me, to take that platform and not to think about himself and not to, you know, he thanked everybody he could, but to bring those kids up, that means a lot to this community. And the money he's raised and, you know, for the food insecurities around here, is amazing. It's you know, it's shining a whole new light on our area.
Another example of leadership. I apologize for interrupting. I've been talking with the author of From Bulldog to Bengal, the Joe Burrow story through his eyes of his hometown, Scott Burson, the co-author, Sam Smathers, and local 12 News digital reporter and host of the Skinny Podcast, Richard Skinner. Thank you so much. This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening.